Please pray with me. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the story of the Good Samaritan, as Sean and Sarah had told us earlier. We'll experience this through a tableau. A tableau is sort of a freeze frame where there will be people up here who will depict the scene that you are hearing read from the scriptures. And to see the scene, we need you to help us by being your eyes will be the curtains for which the scenes will take place in between. So as Sarah had said earlier, when I say closed, please close your eyes. And then when I say open, please open them. And we will get started. And we begin when an expert in the law stands up to test Jesus.
Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
What is written in the law? What do you read there?
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself.
You have given the right answer. Do this and you shall live.
The lawyer has a question that we all struggle with. I wonder what I need to do to get to heaven. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer said to Jesus,
"And who is my neighbor?"
Instead of answering him directly, Jesus decides to tell him a story to get him thinking. Close your eyes.
A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers.
Open. Everyone knew that this particular road was filled with robbers. I wonder why he took it. Closed.
They stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead.
Open. If only he had a neighbor, someone who would walk his way and stop and help him. I wonder what kind of person would stop and help him. Closed.
Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Open. If anyone was going to be a neighbor to this man beaten and left on the side of the road, you would think it would be this priest. But if he comes across a dead body, he becomes ceremoniously unclean, meaning that he can't lead any religious services or even talk with any important religious people. Closed.
So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side.
Open. The Levite, another kind of religious leader, would be considered unclean with the same consequences as the priest if he stopped to help. I wonder if the Levite was a neighbor of the priest and the robbers or this man. Closed.
But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them.
Open. A Samaritan helped him? A Samaritan? The Samaritans and the Jewish people were enemies of each other. So the injured man would be shocked that a Samaritan would help him. closed.
Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend."
Open. A Samaritan. Who would believe it? That's the last person the injured man would ever believe would live out the call to care for a neighbor like him. The Samaritan didn't just know what he ought to do, but actually did care for him.
Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?
The one who showed him mercy.
Go and do likewise.
In this parable, Jesus tells us that the neighbor, the Samaritan, who to that Jewish community is not worthy to receive love, is the one that offers love. It's not the religiously correct or knowledgeable who cross over the barrier of hate and prejudice to live out the law, but the one who has been taught, the one who has been the target, the outsider, the Samaritan. There is an incident that every seminary student at Princeton Seminary hears that we see where this really plays out, and Chip heard the same story when he was there. I heard about it from my speech professor my first semester at school. The event took place in 1973 when 2 social psychologists held an experiment at the seminary with 40 seminarians. The experiment was to see if these theologically trained future pastors would live out their faith and actually be good neighbors or not. The experiment went like this. The psychologist gathered the students in a building and told half of them that they would be going across campus to record a talk about jobs, and the other half were going to give a talk about the story of the Good Samaritan. The 40 students were all sent out in 15-minute intervals. En route to the other building, a young man who seemed in obvious distress, hunched over, coughing and moaning, lay in a doorway in an alley that the students would pass through. The psychologist had planted him there. And they were interested to see if the students who were going to give a talk on the Good Samaritan were any more likely to stop and help him than the ones who were giving a talk on job opportunities. Now, don't forget, these were seminary students. It should have been on their mind. And they discovered that only 16 of the 40 stopped to help the man in distress. 24 didn't even swerve off of their path. 1 future pastor actually stepped over the man as he tried to get into the doorway incorrectly, thinking it's the one that he needed to go to. It didn't make any difference whether the student was going to give a talk on the Good Samaritan or on job opportunities. What did make the difference, however, was how hurried the student was. This was the surprising outcome of the experiment that they weren't even looking for. Here's what they discovered. 1/3 of the students were told that they would be early for the recording and that they could take their time, and 63% of them stopped and helped. 1/3 of them were told it was time to go, you have to get there now, not urged to hurry, and 45% of them stopped. The last 1/3 were told that they were already late and that they should hurry and rush to the other building. Only 10% of them stopped. Apparently, the factor that greatly influenced whether or not the seminarians were able to stop and move beyond knowing who is my neighbor to actually being a neighbor was the hurry factor. The more of a hurry we are in, the less we take in the details around us, the less we pay attention to, or to the other people around us. For these seminarians, even the words of Jesus, the words that we have just heard, did not penetrate their need to follow the instructions or the rules that they were given. This reminds us of Pastor Chip's sermon last week about the Pharisees. They were unable to get to put their faith in action, to follow the commandment of Jesus, to go and do likewise, as they hurried to do what was correct. We all have things that we feel that we have to get done, that seem urgent, and we forget to do what is most needed, care for our neighbor, or to even be aware of what our neighbor's need is. I wonder what would happen if this experiment were repeated here in Lake Forest. What obstacles get in the way? What are the hurry factors that keep you from being a compassionate, caring neighbor, vigilant to see the needs of the other? Later in the service, we'll have an opportunity to reflect on this and name what those obstacles are as we respond with prayer and ask God to help us overcome them. As we did during Lent, these prayers will be anonymous, giving us the freedom to be vulnerable before God and each other. At that time, we will open our hearts and follow where God leads us. Amen.